Hey, my beautiful souls. Welcome back to another episode of The Monsters Within. So, take a minute. Take a deep breath. And come back to me. To our safe space. No fear. Judgment. Or any kind of commitment. Feels nice to be back. Now, today, we're going to be talking about a very subject that's near and dear to me. Insomnia. Now, I want to thank the Sleep Foundation for all of their amazing research and all of their wonderful articles on insomnia that I got to read through this week. And it's thanks to them that I'm able to bring you all this information. Now, you know I like to start out with a question. So, what is insomnia? I'm sure you've heard about it before. A friend complaining that they can't sleep and they say they have insomnia. Well, insomnia is that persistent inability to initiate sleep, to have any kind of duration of sleep, or just a really bad quality of that sleep. So, you have to have some kind of guidelines to diagnose somebody with insomnia. Well, in order for a person to be diagnosed, there has to be two factors at play. One, is sleep difficulty despite an opportunity for normal sleep. So you lay in bed and sit there, or you lay there, or you twiddle your thumbs and try to count sheep. That's an inability to get quality sleep. Another one is the daily impairments that come with the lack of sleep. So irritated, grumpy, groggy, really tired throughout the day. Those are signs that you might have insomnia. Now, there's two different type of diagnosis for insomnia, and those are chronic and short term. Now, chronic is exactly what it sounds like. It's the symptoms that persist for 3 more days out of a 3-month period. I suffer from chronic insomnia. And let me tell you, it is no laughing matter. Short term is the symptoms last for less than 3 months. And 3 months is a long time to have inconsistent sleep. It can affect a lot of people. Now, people don't really understand this, but there's actually a third type of insomnia. Now, I want you to take chronic and short-term and smash them together. It's called mixed insomnia. So it's a combination of sleep onset and sleep maintenance. And you're going to be hearing these terms here in just a second, and I'll explain them to you, so don't worry. Now, sleep onset is more of that difficulty falling asleep, more or less due to an inability to relax in bed. Maybe your circadian rhythm is off because of jet lag or a weird sleeping schedule due to work. These things can cause your circadian rhythm to be off kilter, causing you to not fall asleep. Now, you have what's called sleep maintenance. And this is something I don't necessarily have trouble with. My thing is more of sleep onset. But sleep maintenance is that difficulty to stay asleep after you try and fall asleep. So it's a lot more common in the elderly, and for those who consume alcohol, tobacco, or caffeine before bed. Now, there are other things that also affect your sleep maintenance, and I'm going to be getting into a little more detail about that later, but just an idea. Now, sleep apnea is a really big cause of that, and also periodic limb movement. Those things can really disturb your sleeping schedule. Now, sleep apnea isn't something that you can really cure, and periodic leg syndrome isn't something necessarily curable either. So that's more of a lifestyle change and medication, but I'll get into that more later. So what causes and what symptoms does insomnia have? There's something called hyperarousal, and it's believed to be the reason insomnia exists, due to the fact that it impacts sleep from both onset and maintenance. Now, these can be caused by a couple of factors, so hang in with me. Mental, physical, environmental, physiological, and psychological. That's all really, really big things to be having difficulty with, especially when you're trying to get a good night's rest. Certain substances can have a negative effect on your sleeping schedule, and I am so terrible about this. It's actually 11 p.m. my time as I'm recording this, and I probably won't go to bed till much, much later. Now, most of the time I like to unwind with like a drink, or maybe I hit my vape. Sometimes I'll even have a cup of coffee. These are things that affect our sleep. Certain medications such as dieting pills or certain cold remedies, those can affect our sleep as well. Now, for those of you who are taking any kind of medication and your doctor warned you that it might be an issue with you sleeping, there's a reason for that. Your body is just trying to adjust to the new medication, or maybe you're coming off of old medication. Your withdrawals from that old medication can be causing your sleep onset or your sleep maintenance to be lacking, and that's really tough. Physical pain or discomfort can also impede on falling asleep and staying asleep. I know personally that when I was having really bad mouth pain from teeth that were impacting, I stayed up all night crying in between pain, trying to get my mind off of it with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the newest rendition of it, and I remember not getting much sleep at all. It was horrific. Thankfully, I did get my teeth removed, so now I don't seem to have that problem, at least with the pain part of it. But pain can be a really big factor. Okay, so you remember that I told you I was going to talk about the more complicated manners in death. Well, those conditions can be anywhere from pregnancy, an enlarged prostate, sleep apnea, chronic pain, restless leg syndrome, heart and lung diseases. These are things that can affect your sleeping patterns, because with pregnancy and an enlarged prostate, that's a constant need to get up and urinate. And me being a single mother, oh boy, do I remember those times. Now, sleep apnea, for those who don't know, is in a very layman's term, your esophagus. Now, I might say some wrong things, but you'll kind of get the gist of what I'm saying. Your esophagus collapses on itself, and you aren't able to breathe properly in order to continue to breathe and to not interrupt your REM cycles. And if you've ever heard of a CPAP, that's to help those with apnea. And it's, think of Darth Vader and how he sounds. It's a mask that goes over the top of your mouth to help you, to help push oxygen through your mouth and to keep you sleeping normally. Chronic pain, like I talked about with my teeth, is another really big factor, because most people can't fall asleep when they're in pain. And chronic pain is even worse, like endometriosis. Those women who suffer from endometriosis are in pain all the time. And not just men. Sorry, not just women. But men have chronic pain too. Men, you work your butts off, and most of the time it's back injuries and it's uncomfortable to sleep. That is a big cause for why you are not getting enough. Alright, let's move on. So, let's bring it back. Insomnia is really, really common in those who suffer from mental or behavioral issues such as, ding, 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 depression. It's very true. And to stay awake on those nights where you just want nothing more than to sleep, it's so difficult. But there are ways to combat it, and I'll get into that later. Now, stress and anxiety are big contributors that amplify the stressful and anxious situations that causes you to continuously go through the repetition of, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. Oh no, what about this? Oh no, what about that? I did this wrong. I did that wrong. All you're doing by allowing those anxious thoughts to continue to permeate your mind is keeping you awake. Now, excessive worry, oversleep, can also cause insomnia. You're so busy worrying about whether or not you're going to get some rest, whether or not you're going to be able to sleep, whether or not you're going to be able to get up in the morning. You're just fueling the fire. But I know it's so difficult. It's so difficult not to keep fanning those flames. Because what else are you going to do? You have all the time in the world. There's nobody up. There's nobody listening. There's nobody watching. All you have is you and your mind and the rabbit holes that you climb down. I highly doubt they ever end anywhere pretty. But I understand. I understand how hard it is. Unhealthy lifestyles and sleeping habits, these are really big links to insomnia as well. Going to bed at different times every night, maybe napping too long during the day, excessive exposure to that blue light on your laptop, your video games, your phone screen. Those are big factors too. Working a night shift, inadequate exercising, excessive noise, or even lights in your bedroom when you're trying to sleep. These are other really big factors. Now, chronic insomnia patients show signs of falling asleep or staying asleep. I know that doesn't make any sense, but bear with me. It's that difficulty to fall asleep. It's that difficulty to stay asleep. Waking up earlier than planned. Nobody ever likes waking up before their alarm. Not feeling tired or ready for bed at the time that you normally set yourself to go to bed. So you really don't feel the need to fall asleep. Daytime impairments, such as fatigue, memory and concentration difficulties, mood disturbances, hyperactivity, and aggression. Yeah, you're hyper after not getting any sleep. Might be time to go see a doctor. Now, let's talk about how we can combat these symptoms and these causes, because you know I'm never going to come here and talk about these things and then not give you ways to help yourself. So, those of you with chronic insomnia, sometimes prescription medication, cognitive therapy, or other forms of formal treatment might be beneficial or even necessary. Healthy lifestyle changes can also prove to be extremely beneficial. Maybe limit or eliminate nap time, especially late in the day. You always end up groggy. Restrict the use of alcohol, caffeine, and tobacco in the evening. Avoid late night snacking or meals. Limit screen time an hour or so before bed. Maintain healthy diet and exercise. If you make that a routine, you're gonna be tired, because you're putting yourself back onto the proper circadian rhythm and your biological clock will reset. Follow a consistent sleeping schedule. I mean, in the morning and evening, every day. Now, I'm going to tell you guys a little about my own personal experience with insomnia. I have been suffering from insomnia since I was a teenager, maybe sooner. And I remember many a nights staying up with my friend Damon, texting over the phone, playing video games until all hours of the night. Sometimes I would even sit up on the roof and watch the sky, just kind of hoping for sleep. And it was always so difficult. You put your mind in a place where it's like, I should be asleep. I should be in bed, but I'm not. So what can I think about? You think about some pretty hard stuff. What you did wrong. What you didn't do wrong. what you could have done better, and what you shouldn't even bother of trying at all. Now, I went to behavioral hospital down at Loma Linda, and I remember the nights I spent up, laying in my room, not being able to sleep. And the nurse would come in. "You're still awake?" "Yeah, I'm still awake." "Are you having trouble sleeping?" "Yeah, I'm having trouble sleeping." "Well, we can help you with that." And then I got introduced to trazodone. It's an anxiety medication, but you know what? It helps. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, after I left the hospital, I never used it again. But there's no shame in asking for that help, even if it is through medication. There have been plenty of nights here recently where I'm up until 3-4 o'clock in the morning praying for sleep. And then in the morning, I can't even have my daughter talk to me until I've had a cup of coffee. Because I need to have something that will boost me for the rest of the day. And that's really, really difficult. Because I have to be mom. I have to be superwoman. Multitask, octo, arm, mom. And not only fighting with depression, but also insomnia. It's rough. I have a sugar dependency. And as weird as that sounds, it really does affect my moods and my habits and the things I eat and the things I do, and it affects my sleep too. Moving over to a healthier lifestyle is always the better option, and I would suggest that you really listen to what it is that I'm telling you today. You owe it to yourself to try to do something better for you. Try some of the things that I've talked about today. And if you don't, well, the help is still there. Just because the hand has been reached out does not mean that it gets retracted when you say no. So, take a deep breath. And relax. Because you know, like I do, that when you come here, it's a safe space. And that it's all gonna be okay. Now, I want to give a shout out to Youper for being there in the middle of the night when I'm at my worst and I need something. Guys, I put it down in the description for you to check this out. You owe it to yourself to do something good for you. It's just a pocket AI therapist, and you're the only one who needs to know about it. Go down there at the description, click the link. It's free. The whole process is free. Get to know yourself. What's your triggers? What is going to help you So, give it a try and give some of these little remedies a try. If you don't do it for anybody else, do it for yourself. And if, in case nobody's told you today, you're doing an amazing job, and I think you are such a beautiful soul. Have a great day.